Today's daf, which we have a wonderful schuz to be able to learn today, is daf kuf lamed zayin, and we had gotten up to the halakha mishnah, close to the top of the daf. Now we get into a very, very special sugya. That is one of the big sugyas in Chas, which is called ta'ah bidvar mitzvah. And there's some quite incredible things to learn from this sugya about the nature of mitzvah and our chiyuvim for the mitzvah. So the Mishnah says like this. Imagine a case where a guy had two children that he needed to be mal. One of them he was supposed to do the milah on Sunday, and one of them he was supposed to do the milah on Shabbos. So these were twins that were born with a slight amount of time, enough to push one of them over into the next night. Okay, he gets mixed up, and instead he goes ahead and he's mal on the Sunday baby on Shabbos. What's the din? He's chayev, because he ended up doing a chabura on a child that had no mitzvah to be nimol today, and actually, he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah of mila either, because before the eighth day, we don't give that orla, a din of orla, that you'd be mekayim a mitzvah mila on. Fine. How about the other way around? How about if he had one baby that was due to be nimol on Friday and one baby that was due to be nimol on Shabbos? And instead, he went ahead and he was mal the Friday baby on Shabbos. In that case, we have a machlokas. Rebbe Eliezer is mechayev achatas and Rebbe Yoshua poter. Why is Rebbe Yoshua poter? Because he says, since in that case, you actually were mekayim the mitzvah, because the Friday baby should have been nimol yesterday, and in being mal the baby today, you were mekayim the mitzvah's mila. You just were not mekayim the mitzvah of mila bismano, but you certainly ended up being mekayim the mitzvah. And since the source of your mistake was the fact that there was a child that needed to do the mila on Shabbos, that tirda in a mitzvah is something that is not considered to be a standard type of chet, as we'll see, we learn that out from the pasuk. And because of that, you're not chayev achatas in that case. Now, Rav Huna actually was masne chayev the way we have. First part of the Mishnah said, everybody's mitzvah that you're chayev. That was in the case where you were mal the Sunday baby on Shabbos. But Rabbi Yehuda actually starts the Mishnah off and says everybody agrees that in that case you're pater. So he talks about the opposite case. He takes the last case where you did Friday baby on Shabbos. He says everybody is mod. It's not only Rabbi Yoshua. Everybody is mod. If you did Friday baby on Shabbos, that you're certainly pater. Why would that be? Because you were torud in a dvar mitzvah. The mitzvah, it was something that was pressuring you, and you were under what is close to an onus of stress to make sure that you got the mitzvah done, and it's not your personal issue. You're doing this for the mitzvah, and in the end, you actually did a mitzvah. And therefore, in that case, everybody is meida that you're potter. And then he has the next case in the machlokas is only the case where you did Sunday baby on Shabbos. If you did Sunday baby on Shabbos, then we're ready to say in that case, there's a machlokas. Because over there, since you didn't do a mitzvah, there's a stronger tzad to say that you'd be chayav. And here, take a look at the braita. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Lo nechleku Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, al misha yulo shtei tinokot. It's actually not a machlokas if you had two babies, one to do on Shabbos and one to do Sunday. And you forget, and you did Sunday baby on Shabbos. In that case, you're definitely chayev, because you did not do a mitzvah. That's like the way we have the girsa. Al ma nechleku, the machlokas is only if you had two babies, one a Friday baby and one a Shabbos baby, and then you forgot and you did Friday on Shabbos. So in that case, although Rabbi Eliezer says you're still chayev achatas because you did a chabura for no purpose, Rabbi Yoshua says you're be potter. So this is the girsa that we have. Ushneim lo lamdu elo me'avodat kochavim. Remember that the makor of all of the dinim of chatas in the Torah in terms of what your shagoga, I shouldn't say all the dinim of chatas, all the dinim of shagoga that are mechayev chatas are learned in Parsha Shlach from the story of Torah Achat Yelachem Losel Vishkaga, which is referring to the korban chatas that is brought for a shagoga on Avodah Zarah. So the question is, how do we view the model of Avodas Kochavim in terms of telling me the Torah Achat that only in such circumstances do you bring a korban chatas? That is actually what the machlokas is. Rabbi Eliezer says, look, this fits the model perfectly well, okay? Avodas Kochavim, what's the bottom line? The Torah says, do not do this iser. And if you do this iser b'shogeg, you are going to be chayev achatas. Okay, that's exactly what happened. The Torah said, do not make a chabura on Shabbos. You went ahead and you made a chabura on Shabbos. What right do you have to insist that, well, sort of? This is basically the bottom line. Why aren't you chayev? Rabbi Yeshua says, no, because obviously the question of whether in the context of doing what I was doing, I was being driven by a mitzvah and actually was working on a mitzvah. So that does not meet the model. Somebody is not, it seems to be our beloved Jeff, can you believe it? The most of a year sophisticated user of computers. Ha! And he's not showing us his picture to boot. Gets worse, goes from bad to worse. So in that case, I say, says Rabbi Yeshua, it is not similar to Avodas Kochavim. All right, so this is Achinami Loshna. Rabbi Yehuda, now Rabbi Yehuda's Girsa, as we said, is not like our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, on the contrary, in the case where you did Friday baby on Shabbos, everybody agrees that you're potter. And no nechlaku Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Misha, Yulo, Shtei, Tinokot, Echad, Lamu, Berev, Shabbat, Vechad, Lamu, Berev, Shabbat, and you went ahead and you were mal Friday on Shabbos. In that case, you're potter because you actually not only were Torah in a mitzvah, but you actually did the mitzvah. A man nechlaku, the only machlokas is in the case where you had two babies, a Sunday baby and a Shabbos baby, and you went ahead and you did Sunday baby on Shabbos. So there, Rabbi Eliezer says, well, you didn't do a mitzvah, so therefore you're chayav chatas. Rabbi Yeshua says it doesn't matter whether you did a mitzvah. The bottom line is that which caused you to make the mistake was not the fact that you are the kind of guy that makes a mistake. It's because you are the kind of guy who was so necherah to do a mitzvah that the stress of the mitzvah in the circumstances made you flip the babies. Okay, that's called not like a chatas, that's more like an ones. In that case, we have a ptur aliba to Rabbi Yehoshua, even though Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayav chatas, and here too, if we understand the machlokas to this way, shnehem lo lamdu elo mi'avodat kochavim, Rabbi Eliezer says, what do you want? The Torah said, don't do it. You do it. You're chayav chatas. That's exactly what happened. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, wait a minute. The Torah said, if you make a mistake on your own, so you're not really Torah in a mitzvah, but over here you are Torah in a mitzvah, and therefore it does not fit the model. Says Rabbi Chia that Rabbi Meir used to say, Omer haya Rabbi Meir, lo nechlaku Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Yoshua, o misha yu lo shtei tinokot, echad lamu b'erev Shabbat, v'echad lamu b'Shabbat, v'shechachu mal shel erev Shabbat v'Shabbat, shu chayav. Now this is very confusing. Rabbi Meir says, actually, everybody is moda. There is no machlokas that if you went ahead and you were mal Friday baby on Shabbos, you're chayev. Whoa, that's weird. Chayev, that was the case that we said that you, yeah, so far so good, yeah, sorry. Friday baby on Shabbos. Okay, wasn't it zman? Where is the machlokas? The machlokas would be, says Rabbi Meir, if there were two babies, one a Sunday baby and one a Shabbos baby. I mean, look at this inversion. And he went ahead and he did Sunday baby where you weren't Mekayim, the mitzvah, where over there Rabbi Eliezer says, that's okay, Mekayim Chatas, Rabbi Yeshua says, you're potter. Says, think about it, that's insane. If Rabbi Yeshua says, you're potter, even when you did the Sunday baby, now that makes the first part of what Rabbi Meir said completely inexplicable. So if you're potter when you actually did not do the mitzvah, so in the reisha, where you had a Friday baby, He's going to say you're chayev? Where over there you did do the mitzvah? What the heck? And here we introduce a completely new and startling idea. Amri devei Rabbi Yanai, yes, it actually does work out that way. Because what Rabbi Meir is talking about is that you didn't have a mitzvah to do on Shabbos at all. The Reisha was talking about where you inverted the babies from before. So what happened was, it's not that you simply did Friday baby on Shabbos. You actually had done Shabbos baby on Friday. So who cares? I mean, that was yesterday. This is today. Aha, there's a tremendous difference. If you did Shabbos baby, mistaking it for Friday baby, and you did it on Friday, is there a mitzvah to do today at all? No. Did I do a mitzvah when I went ahead and did Friday on Shabbos? Yes. So what's the difference? The difference is, incredibly, that since I did not have a mitzvah to do on Shabbos, I only thought I had a mitzvah to do on Shabbos. That is a projection, and it's your own issue. And I don't care whether it was a very religious projection, it's not a mitzvah. It's only when there's the reality of the mitzvah that is driving you insane. Over there, you would be considered to be potter because you really were torahed by a mitzvah. But over here, you were torahed by your own agenda that you mistook for a mitzvah. Exactly the same issue that the Rambam always speaks about, or we always speak about the Rambam, I should say, about the question of if you've got an agenda, is it a mitzvah? Boy, that's real identification, huh? Anyway, so in this case, there wasn't a mitzvah to be done because you had already done the mitzvah Erev Shabbos. That's the point. So over there, lo nitna Shabbat liyidachot. There didn't exist a mitzvah. Because now all you can do is do the mitzvah a day later. Seifa, but the last case was actually where there was a mitzvah to do, except you did the wrong one. You did the Sunday mitzvah. Amar Rav Asher Rav Kahana, I don't understand, but I mean, theoretically, there is a mitzvah, isn't there? I mean, there's a mitzvah to do a milah on Shabbos for everybody else. So why isn't that the mitzvah that is driving you crazy? I mean, so you thought you had that mitzvah. It's not like you created that mitzvah out of thin air, is it? I mean, why is that called an agenda? No, excuse me. This individual did not have a mitzvah, correct? He's imagining that he had a mitzvah. That's an agenda. Even where the agenda is firmly implanted in reality, because such a mitzvah actually does exist. But the belief that that mitzvah applies to you is itself an agenda, and therefore is not a mitzvah. Absolutely astounding. So Rabbi Meir's addition is that we need to take into consideration not merely whether you were torahed because of a mitzvah, and not merely whether in the end did you actually do a mitzvah, but also whether there was an actual chiyuv for you to be mechal Shabbos, which was the mitzvah that was mantrad you, not simply the tirda of the mitzvah. And therefore, and this is how we paskin actually, and therefore the halacha requires all three in order for you to be putter. And now, do we get a gander at Richie, or do we only see his oatmeal? The moment will tell.
So
not bad, Rich. You should listen in to the Mitzvah Shabbos, which to you was still a Shabbos, and you will see that the youngsters are catching up on you. They're nipping at your heels.
Would that be
if you listen to it on Yom Rishon, then you didn't get mixed up. So then you'll see, the next generation is nipping at your heels.
He thought he had a mitzvah on Shabbos and listened to it on Shabbos, even though it was Sunday.
I hear. Okay. So we're ready to go. Katan, Nima l'shmona l'tisha l'asara l'chadasar l'shtemasar. Look, if you want to do the mitzvah, then you need to take into consideration that there are times where the mitzvah is you can only do it on the Yom HaShmini to have the meal of Bizmana. Sometimes you cannot assume that the Shmini is the Yom. You have to wait till the ninth day. Sometimes you'll have to wait till the 10th day. Sometimes the 11th and sometimes the 12th. But this does not take into consideration, of course, physiological problems or illness. We're talking about in terms of time, timing alone. How is that possible? Very simple. Suppose the child was born bein hashmashot, and I'm not sure whether it's the eighth day is the day before, the eighth day is the next day. And that means that if the next day turns out to be Shabbos, well, I can't really be malim on Shabbos, can I? Because maybe Shabbos is the ninth day. So I'm going to have to wait till the 10th day. So let's say it's not a Shabbos problem. It happened between Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm going to have to wait to be sure that it's the eighth day, but that really may be the ninth day. If it's Shabbos, so then it would be the 10th day. But it's also possible for it to be 11 and 12. How is that? Kidarko, without any confusion, it's 8. Nolad ben hashmashot, you have to wait till the next day. We'll call that 9. If it was a ben hashmashot on Friday night, you have to wait till 10. Because it might have been Friday and not Shabbos. You're not sure. How about if the 10th day is Yontef? The Yontef comes out after Shabbos. You got to wait till 11. And how about if the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah fall out on those 2 days, Sunday and Monday? Then it would be the 12th day. Now, this is talking about just in terms of time issues. If the child is sick, well, that's a whole different issue. A katana chole ein mo'alinoto ad sheyavri. Actually, you have to wait until the child is completely healthy before you are able to do the milah at all. So that's a different issue completely. Okay, Amar Shmuel, let's understand something. Just because it says you have to wait until it gets better, what do you think getting better means? So Naftali's not here, but we're having a running argument about whether he is over corona or he's not over corona. At what point are you considered to be better? Aha. Now, that's a big machlokas, okay? Does getting over corona mean it's at least 10 days from the onset of symptoms and at least 3 days since you had any symptoms at all? Is it at least 7 days since you had any symptoms at all? May you never get over. Who knows? But when it comes to Mila, we actually do have a din. And the din is you need to wait the full 7 days after you're symptom-free. And therefore, we will not take a child who was sick and had a fever and say, okay, his fever is now down, time for the milah. We wait 7 days after that. So therefore, it says Shmuel, the doctor, chalatzato chama, you wait another 7 days in order for him to be considered to be over his illness. Wait, when you say that, do you mean 7 24-hour periods? Or do you mean the seventh day? Well, toshma. The Tony Luda, Yom Havra'ato, is actually Kiyom Hivaldo. We treat the day that he got better as if it was the day that he was born. And if that's the case, it seems to be saying the way that we measure the day that he was born is that the eighth day, we don't measure it in terms of 24-hour periods. And it apparently that's the comparison. The my love, my yomi vado lobi inami eight la eight. We don't wait 24 periods to get to the eighth day. It's whenever the eighth day is. Av yom avrato. It must be comparing it in that way that we do not need 24-hour periods. Now, that's not the point that he was saying. I mean, he wasn't coming to address 24-hour period. Maybe it's even more chomor because it's a health issue, and it's actually odif yom avrato mi yomi vado. The Iloyomi Valdo, you're right that when we measure from the time he was born, we do not need the 24-hour period, 7 24-hour periods. But Yom Avrato, we do. All he meant to say was, look, consider it that it's as if the child was born afresh. Okay, now you got to measure the time again. He's not telling you how to measure the time. So indeed, he might have meant 7 full 24 hours. I don't know. But from here, we have no raya. In fact, we paskin l'chumra. And you do have to wait full 24-hour periods. However, This is only where we're talking about a kind of illness that affects systemically the way that he's feeling. If there is an illness, first of all, if there's a bilirubin problem. So remember, a normal bilirubin problem where there hasn't been some really serious deviation, that goes according to Nassim Abavli. Nassim Abavli said that where there's a bilirubin problem, just wait until the bilirubin count is down. So that would be not considered to be systemic under normal circumstances. Let's say that there was a wound on the child. That's not systemic. So as soon as he's over the pain and so on, then he's okay. But what Shmuel was talking about is where he's got a fever. That fever is an indication of infection that is systemic. And now we are ready for another word from our very, very parsimonious captain who shares his beautiful picture and the picture of his island with us at rare circumstances. And that's why we're very, very happy when we got a lot of Mishnayos, because today we get to see him again. Go for it.
It's cloudy, but you can't have sun all the time.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so as we learned before, the idea of Mila is that you have to get rid of not only the actual covering, which we call orla, but you actually have to get rid also of the membrane, which we call puria. Now, the shaila is, because of the fact that especially the or hapuria, that membrane, is very delicate, easily tears, and there might be little shreds of membrane that are left covering the atara. Now, the big machlokas, what the atara is. The way that we paskin, the way Rashi learns, remember, the atara is what is technically called the corona, which is the raised ridge and only the raised ridge and not the actual glands, which is the entire, what you would think is called a crown, because it's basically the crown over the whole penis. But that's not what we're referring to. We're referring to the ridge, which would mean that even a little bit of shredded membrane easily would escape your notice even. And it was left over, maybe it was like right underneath the ridge, you didn't notice from on top and so on. But if it's chofe et rova atara, and we're going to see that rova atara includes even, doesn't mean all around, we're not talking about circumference. It turns out that we're talking about even a tiny, tenth of a millimeter shred of skin, which is left that is long enough to get up to most of the atara, which is a tiny amount, that would be enough to pass the mila. And because of that, Elo ein tzitzina ma'akvin et hamila, basara chofe et rov ha'atara, ve'eino ochel betrumah. At that point, the child is not considered to have been nimol, and it'd be osur nachilas trumah, and all of the other issues that we know are nifsal because of arelut. Now, there's also such a thing as a rabbonan orel. And a rabbonan orel is where someone, and this happens very often with babies, they're like so, they've got so much baby fat on them that they look like they didn't have a bris mila, because there's enough skin that's surrounding the penis on the shaft that if it's not erect, then you look, it looks like all of that flesh is climbed back up over the glands. So because of that, the only way to measure it is give him an erection and then measure it. And then it depends, as we're going to see. So if he's a Baal Basar, if he's like a very fat kid, so then mitakno mipnei marita ayin, you're going to have to actually cut a little bit of the skin, and you're going to go down further than you normally would have. This, of course, heals just as quickly. And that's because of marita ayin. Midiorais, of course, is no problem, but we don't want the child to look like he's an aura. Malvalo para, if you left, you did the full mila in terms of the orla, but you left over the or hapri'a, then ki'ilu lo mal, that's nothing. Omer Rabbi Avina, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Ava, Amarav, when we're talking about a shred of skin that covers most of the atara, what we mean is most of the gova shel atara, not circumference. V'imayaba al basar, Omer Shmuel, In terms of the halacha, let me give you the details that you might not recognize from the Mishnah. Sorry. Which is that a katan hamisur bal bebasar. There's a very fatty kid. Ro'inoto kozman shemit kasha. If he has an erection, which will pull the skin much tighter, obviously, and at that point he's near a mohu, then it's fine. You do not need to cut away any skin. But if even when he's erect, he still looks like he's not mohu, then you have to actually cut away additional skin. In the Braita, it says it like this. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Alomer, Katana misur bal bebasaro inoto. Now this, note this subtle difference, okay? Ro inoto kozman shemit kashev ve'eino nire mohu. So according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, if even with an erection, he does not look as if he's mohu, then you need to be malim. But if not, you do not need to be malim. Now, that's not what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, if he looks as if he's mohu when he's erect, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, as long if he doesn't look mohu if he's erect, what's the difference between those two pshatim? My benayu. Ike benayu, the difference is nir'ah, ve'eino nir'ah. So in other words, according to Shmuel, he has to be nira mohu, and only completely nira mohu. But if it's not clear to you that he's nira mohu, he's looks a little bit weird. You'd have to really look closely to know whether he's mohu or not. So according to Shmuel, if he's nira ve'eino nira, you would still need to fix him up. Whereas according to the Braita, it's only if he's eino nira mohu. In other words, he's very clearly somebody walking by would say, hey, what's going on? Didn't they ever get around to doing a meal on that kid? So then, it's only then that you would need to fix him. But if he's not nira, if he is nira in any way, right? Nira ve'eino nira, you would not need to actually cut. And the halacha is that there's two different dinim. You need to be mitakein even if he isn't nira, completely mohol. So, but what to be metakein does not mean to need to do surgery. Need to be metakein is basically you sort of keep pressing down the skin and, or you put a bandage on him anyway until after a couple of weeks, it just, the skin ends up becoming used to being pressed down, doesn't start coming up over the atara. You only have to actually do surgical correction if he's really, even when he's erect, he's looks like he's not mohu. Mohu v'lo para, tana rabbana. Now we'll get to the mitzvah of the brachas of the milah. Hamal, the one who's doing the actual milah, he says, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al hamilah. The father says, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahachniso b'brito shel Avraham avinu. Now, there's a lot of discussion, like what exactly is that bracha? Because if that bracha is a birchas hamitzvah, which it sounds like, because, it, I mean, that's what it says. It says, asher kedoshanu mitzvotav v'tzivanu lachniso bibrito shel Avraham Avinu. If it is a birchas hamitzvah, does it not have to be said before the mitzvah is done? And yet, the order that we have here, and the Tosfos actually backs up this girsa with many rayas against those who try to change it because of this problem. Don't you have to say it before? But the girsa over here is saying the mal makes the bracha, does the milah, and which is the way we do it. And then the father says this mitzvah. But how is he saying the mitzvah before the actual, after the actual mitzvah is already done, if you're mechuyev to do that over lasiyato? So there's a number of approaches to this. One approach is, which does this bring, is that problem is only where the one who's making the bracha is the one who's doing the mitzvah. But over here, since someone else is doing the act of the mitzvah, it doesn't matter whether it's over lasiyato or not. That's one approach. Another approach is, alone, we really love the measurement of the oxygenation of your blood, but we'd love to see it. There we go. So The other way of understanding it is that not that it's a bracha shava mitzvah actually at all, but the way that The way that the Aruch HaShulchan explains it is very beautiful, that this is the bracha which, so to speak, the child is making, except that we have to do it for him. In other words, normally speaking, a child does not have shaychus to a mitzvah as long until he becomes a bar mitzvah. The only thing in which the child actually participates is a mitzvah which is contextual, lachniso bivrito shel Avraham Avinu, which means that from this point on, his life is defined by the nature of that brit. And this is the reason that we respond, as we'll see in a moment, that kishem shenichnas lebris, ken yikanes the Torah, lechupa, lemaasim tovim, because now that he's part of that life, contextually bris milah, so now we want to actually note that, yes, this is what's coming, and this is what you are still going to remain responsible for, and so on. So memela, it really doesn't have shaychus to a normal birchas hamitzvah anyway. It's much closer to a brand new kind of thing, not even beyond the normal birchas hashevach. Okay, the people that are standing there, homdim sham omrim, kishem shenichnas labrit, ken yikanes haTorah, lechupa ulamaasim tovim. Then someone who is appointed to be mevorech says, asher kidash yedid mi beta, v'chok b'she'eros sam, which is the correct girsa, the way the Rif has it, v'tzeetzaav chatam ba'od brit kodesh. So now, what is that referring to? Rashi understands, asher kidash yedid mi beta, is referring to Yitzchak Avinu, and the reason that we call him Yedid is because it was Yitzchak Asher Ahavta. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu stresses to Avram Avinu at the time of the Akedah that there's a special love that you have for Yitzchak. However, Tosfos disagrees. The Rabbeinu Tam says Yedid is always a reference to Avram Avinu, which we're very sensitive to now as we approach Rosh Chodesh Av, because that's the remez in Yirmiyahu to Mal Yedidi Beveiti, which is that Avram Avinu came to be Mispalel after the Churban. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why, what are you doing here? And he calls him my lover, which is the Avraham Avi, of course, is the moker of that in the Torah. And he is the Yedid. And then the chok that is said afterwards, which is B'she'ero, that's the one that is being referred to as Yitzchak Avinu. So the chok B'she'ero sam is that the mitzvah of Mila, as it was meant to be, Bishmini, and so on, that was said about Yitzchak, which is at Briti, Akimet Yitzchak, and so on. Then the Tzetzav, meaning the Tzetzav of Yitzchak, that's a reference to Yaakov Avinu, that he was Chatam Ba'od Brit Kodesh, and it means from that time on. So the Yaakov Avinu and his children. Fine. So if that's the case, we have a remez, says the Rabbeinu Tam, to all of the avos in the mitzvah of Mila. So then we continue on to say, Al kein bischar zot el chai chalkenu tzurenu tzaveh. There's a machlokas in the meforshim of the Shulchan Aruch, the Noisei Shulchan Aruch, whether that's tzaveh or tziva. So which is it begetter like a tefillah that we're asking Kadosh Baruch to be mitzaveh, to save anyone who has this sign from shachas, meaning from Gehenna? Or do we say tziva because HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told Avram Avinu that anyone that has this sign on his basar is not going to be able to be allowed into Gehenna, so that he was mitzava this as a standing order to the Shemer Gehenna? But in any event, the idea is lahatzil yedidut she'irenu mishachat, shachat being Gehenna. The Yedidut She'erenu is, again, not clear. Who is the Yedidut She'erenu? Is that the, again, referring back to the concept of Yedid? Is Yedidut She'erenu a concept of the Neshama, which is our lover, which lies within our flesh? Or is it simply to the love that we have of our flesh? Because the closest feelings that we have to being Basar is, of course, our sexual feelings. And that would be the sweetest part of our life. And therefore, we have to be very careful not to ruin it. So we have to be matzil yedid sheirenu mishachas. And this, why would he do this? L'man brito asher sam b'vsarenu, baruch ata Hashem koreit habrit. Now, very similarly, we have two other mitzvahs that have to do with Mila. One of them, of course, is the, as Avram Avinu was told, make sure that you are mal your avadim that are with you. So the all of the kinyan kaspo and the yelid beito have to be nimol imo. And then we also have the mitzvah of being machnis tachas kanfei hashchina, and that means the way to do that is to be mal v'gerim. So what is the difference in the whole ceremony of the brachas that we say at those times? So the difference would be amalat hagerim omer brachat Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al hamila. It's the same bracha of the mal, and there the mevarach says asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lamul et hagerim ulahatif mehem dambrit, which is the usual case because the usually were nimo from before. And here we're concentrating on the dam brit, shi'umalei dam brit, lo nitkaimu shamayim va'aretz, shenemar im lo briti yomam v'layla, chukot shamayim va'aretz lo samti. Baruch ata Hashem, koreit habrit. And if someone is being mal his avadim, he says, again, the mal says, asher kedushanu v'sovet tzivanu al hamila, and then we appoint someone, or he could say it himself, obviously, I'm a vorech omer, asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, lamulet avadim, ulahatif mehem dambrit, she'umalei dambrit, chukot shamayim v'aretz lo nitkaimu, she'nemar imlo briti yom v'alayla, chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti, baruch ata Hashem, koreit habrit, hadron alach Rebbe Eliezer de Mila, which ends with the bracha on Krisas habrit. This is a beli. Well, we've got another parak, Rebbe Eliezer, but this one, just to keep it short, we don't call it Rebbe Eliezer the Tolin, we just call it Tolin. So, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, now we're going to be getting into the various things that you're allowed to do, Shabbos Yonta, because we just finished discussing the primary oat, Brit, which was Nogea Doros, the same way Shabbos was, Oat Brit V'Dorot. And we're going to move on to the interrelationship between Shabbos and Yontif, Lagabe, various things that we are allowed to do, Litzorach Ochol Nefesh, at those times, which will start tomorrow.